Welcome to the Power Walk Ministries broadcast. We're thrilled to have you join us today. Pastor Kennings has been sharing from the series titled Friends. And through various scriptures, we see what a big difference love can make in our relationships and how easily we sometimes rather make a choice to gossip or cause division even amongst those that mean a lot to us. Today, Pastor Kennings takes to Proverbs 17:17, which says, "A friend loves at all times." Let's listen now as he brings us the message, A True Friend.
You know, a while back someone said to me, "Who could find a friend?" I said, "What? What do you mean, who could find a friend? Not that easy, Pastor, to find a friend that is a friend, that is a friend." You know, I remember my kids talking me into getting a dog. And finally they talked, Mom looking at me with all kind of fancy eyes, and they turned around and got me to get a dog. I knew they were young kids, and I knew it meant that I'm taking care of the dog. I grew up with a dog, so it wasn't anything new for me. And so I said, "No, we're gonna get this dog, but y'all gonna be responsible to take care of the dog." But I had some traveling to do. The ministry I was working for at the time, and I came home, and the first thing I went to do was in the backyard. I talked to my kids, everybody, and went through the back door to check on this dog, because I just had a feeling, you know, they're gonna play with the dog and forget to bathe the dog and keep the water fresh and food fresh and all these different things. So I went in the backyard, and sure enough, the water container we put there for the dog, was dust was all around it, and the food, you could tell it's old and not fresh. And I went in back inside and I said, "You guys are not taking care of the dog." And what's amazing is that when they came outside, apologetic, came outside, just like the dog ran to me, the dog ran to them. And I went in and I freshened up everything for the dog, make sure the dog was bathed and all this kind of stuff. And then I went back on another trip, came back, the same thing. And this dog just was still loving, still kind, still jumping up and down. And I said, "That's a friend." Many times we think of friendships as when somebody likes what we're doing and we kind of e-harmonize. We like the same kind of sports, or we like the same kind of knitting, maybe a part of a class that does knitting, or maybe have kids the same age and go to the same schools and live in the same neighborhood and go to the same church, and we run into each other all the time. And all these different things make us think we have friends. Friends in the Bible is not actually displayed in good times. Friends are actually proven in the bad times. You'd actually find this when we look at this particular passage further on down the road in Proverbs 17, verse 17, as we continue this whole series this week on friends. We're designed to need friends and family. We designed that way, so we can't rewire this. That's why sometimes people that try to rewire it struggle with loneliness, struggle with bitterness and resentment, and they stay in that. And don't hardly want to be around anyone because they've been hurt so many times. When we come to this whole aspect of friends, what is core to it is love. Let's define love for a minute. Because love has been, I call it Hollywoodized. I know there's no such word like that. But that's literally what I said, has been Hollywoodized. It is not love that is designed by how God defines love. It is a love that we have to have our feelings attached to, when love deals completely with opposites. It's not dealing with similarities. It's actually dealing with things where the person could be totally opposite than the person that they're loving. And that's why they make the picture in Ephesians chapter 5 of Christ and the church. Christ doesn't need the church because he's Christ. But Christ chooses to submit towards using the church to further his agenda. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. The picture is Christ and the church, a match of opposites. We are imperfect. He's perfect. We need his wisdom. We need strength, because he is strength and we are weakness. So at the end of the day, we are opposites. We tend to come to friendships and look at similarities, and that's why it is critical in developing friendships to have love. That fulfills what Christ's ambition was. If you abide in me and I abide in you, and you bear much fruit, and then as a result of that, we achieve the whole purpose for which I died. What kind of man is this that would lay down his life for a friend? So the whole purpose of love was a friendship. That's why he says back here in Proverbs chapter 10, where we left off yesterday, "Hatred stir up strife, but love covereth all sins." He's not saying love works great in perfection. He's saying love works great in imperfection. He is saying the person has purposely done wrong towards you. That's what he's literally saying in the text. Because transgression is a purposeful decision to violate the standards of God when God has made it very clear to the individual. And even though it's very clear, their emotions, anxieties, their fears has led them to say, I'm not doing that. Knowing that what they're choosing not to do could hurt the person that is loving them. And he's saying it covereth. What he's saying here in this word covereth is the word forgive. It means to conceal something that should be dealt with. So he is literally saying that we have a legitimate reason to forgive. And we always get this word forgive messed up. So before we get into the word forgive, let's manage the word love. And then the word forgive will follow its pattern perfectly. So please don't forget, what we're shooting at is the word sin, where the person is inadequate to deserve the love, to expect to be loved. And the person is doing things that purposely violate the word of God, so the person technically don't deserve the love. Now, how do we work this thing out so that it could functionally take place? Now, in 1 John chapter 2, he tells us how this can work, beginning in verse 3. Because love in the Bible is an act. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He didn't ask his permission. He gave his only begotten son. So that whosoever believes in him, whosoever, the guy on the cross, whosoever, the soldier that brutalized him, whosoever, the high priest that turned on him, whosoever, the disciples that left him, whosoever, Mary Magdalene, whosoever, it doesn't matter. That's what he's talking about here when love is pure, because God is love. That's the first thing you have to understand. It's not that God is just giving out love. God is a loving person. No, God is the very nature of what love is. So in other words, I cannot love somebody if I don't choose to first love God. If you love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, you love your neighbor as yourself. So when I can't love somebody, the person I'm choosing not to love is God. Because if I choose to love God, I can love an enemy. If I choose to love God, I can love somebody who purposely sinned against, because he's going to tell me how to love that person who did that. So I'm not loving the person the way the person may think that I'm loving. The person may think I'm not loving. But if God is saying that what I'm doing is based on his word, the Bible says I am loving them because I'm obeying God. We know that we have an intimate relationship with God when we keep his commands, because he convicts us when we sin. He's talking about the Holy Spirit inside of us. He convicts us when we sin. He illuminates the word of God. He brings the word of God back to our remembrance. The Spirit of God will hear the very groans of our heart. He's our helper, because we need help. He says here in verse 4, he that said, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The reality of what God's word means for day-to-day living does not exist in the person. They're an educated biblical scholar with no application to the word of God. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he said these educated people are arrogant. They're not good towards God. They've got a lot of bunch of information. Pharisees, Sadducees, bunch of information. High priests, bunch of information. Sanhedrin, labeled down with information, but they nailed Jesus to the cross. They don't know him. He says in verse 5, he says, but whoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Watch this carefully. He didn't say the person's love is perfected. He said the person who preserves in God's word, their anger, their hatred is deserved because the person did transgress against them. He is saying that person who's fearful of being vulnerable or abused, that person who fears that if I do this, this person could take advantage of me. He said that person that in spite of it chooses to come under the word of God, God will keep them. God will protect them. God will avenge for them. When the Spirit of God drives them there, the Bible says now God can keep working in their character, keep working in their mindset, keep working in their emotions, keep working upon how they function relevant to the other person so that his love becomes complete in them, because the Word of God teaches them how to love an enemy. The Word of God teaches them how to love this person that is being very, very vengeful towards them, or the person is just not kind anymore. The person is just not sensitive anymore. The person is not loyal anymore. So he's bringing himself, his emotions, his feelings, his desires into the complicity with God's word. And the Bible says now God begin to change that character. God begin to shape the person to become just like him. And when the person continues to become just like him, with all the verses they're learning, all the verses they're practicing, God's love become complete in them. The Bible says if a person does not do that, he says, they stumble, they live in darkness, they're hateful, verse 11 says, and their eyes are blinded by their darkness, and they hate rather than love. See, that's the reason why you go to chapter 4, verse 7 through verse 11. It defines us even more. You could go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through verse 21. It defines it even more. Because the people in the church were people who had turned against the believers. And they were believing in a doctrine that is not biblically correct. And John is telling them how to function. And the same people have to be corrected years later when you come to the church of Ephesus. In Revelation, please understand the reason why love covers, forgives, is because when I now do what God is saying, I am not holding the debt against them because I'm doing what God says. Since I'm doing what God says, I'm not letting what they owe me before willfully sinning against me to control me, to make me do things that are not right before God. And as a result of that, we are constantly seeking to work within the will of God. And when we do that, the Bible is saying, now it automatically leads to forgiveness that covers all the sins that person has done while God perfects me to become just like Christ on the cross, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'll remember you in paradise. Peter, do you love me? Folks, I must admit, this is something that God has constantly sought to teach me. And in doing so, I have had the best growing experiences of my life with Christ. Because it improves your prayer life. It exposes your weaknesses. It teaches you how to trust. It teaches and deepens your commitment to our Lord God. And when He stands up in you, you no longer see the struggle. You just see Him. Stay focused.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Cannings. Let nothing be done through strife, but out of love. Friends, if you have questions about God's love and what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, please call us and let's talk about it. Our phone number is 281-260-7402. That's 281-260-7402. You can also log on to powerwalkministries.org. That's powerwalkministries.org. We want you to know that this is a listener-supported broadcast. Our purpose is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and equip and encourage the body of Christ. So would you consider making a one-time or regular monthly financial contribution to help us get God's word out? If so, please call us again at 281-260-7402. Please know that we count on your prayerful and financial support for our ministry. If you'd prefer to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 920517, Houston, Texas 77092. God bless you. And as we leave you, remember, when you are committed to Christ and walking in fellowship with Him each day, we will automatically reflect His nature, which is love.